Northwest, the legend of Bigfoot dates back hundreds of years.
This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange.
He became the first cabinet-level politician from a G8 country to publicly state that there is extraterrestrial life present on Earth.
Strange Harbor, online at strangeharbor.net.
They say everything that we know, everything that we are, everything that we have comes from the people living on Nibiru.
Strange Harbor, be strange.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, we talk about UFOs and alien abduction and near-death, afterlife, ghosts, paranormal, psychics, conspiracy theories, and so much more. Sheree DeSous, Johnny Manson, we're here talking the strange. Patents.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate? We were talking about like patents being
taken out by the Navy.
What's up with that?
Okay, we're going to recap a little history here. In an article in Defense News dated December 2019, Barbara Barrett, who is the 25th Secretary of the Air Force and the new United States Space Force. Okay, so she is really on top of space, okay? She has said that America is the best there is in space. Yet as we watch the trajectory of potential enemies, we see that the relationship is changing. America is also the biggest user of space, she said. Our way of life is more dependent on space than any other nation's, and our capability in space was predominantly built at a time when we thought space was a benign environment. So it's not benign anymore? Oh, are there space wars out there? When did that happen, Johnny? Who in space would be causing all this ruckus that she's worried about? So she and an Air Force top civilian are going to declassify a large amount of information about America's military space programs to both intimidate those foes and encourage support among the public. So apparently we're being invited to the party finally. We're going to start hearing about space programs that have been taking place for years.
Really?
Yes. And a fellow panelist on her board, Mike Rogers, who is a representative from Alabama, said he met with the Secretary Barbara Barrett earlier in the week to discuss that very issue of releasing information, calling that information on space programs overwhelmingly classified. You get a download and the whole thing's black on the paper. What good's that, right?
Right.
All right, let's move on to the patents. On August 2nd, 2019, TheDrive.com, under the War Zone, and this is a very well-known military news, writes about a series of strange patent applications in the U.S. Navy that they have filed over the last few years. All right, so the Drive questioned what their connections may be with the ongoing saga of Navy personnel, reporting all these incidents involving unidentified objects in or near U.S. airspace or water. So what's coming in and out of the water? And we're starting to have all these Navy men and women reporting sightings when they're flying their jets. Men on the ships are reporting ships that are going in and out of the water that are triangular spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's that all about, right? So, okay. Navy's advanced aerospace tech boss claims key UFO patent is operable. Now, let me say that again. They've put a patent into the patent office saying that it's operable. Nobody ever does that. A patent attorney said that is bizarre. That just states that this is something that they've been using for some time, and they're just now getting around to throwing it in as a patent. Are they worried that China or Russia is going to beat them to it and they want to get the patent in soon? So Navy officials claim their radical electromagnetic and superconductor technologies aren't theoretical anymore. They're already operable in some form. And I have seen the plans.
Really?
I have actually seen the patent.
How did you see those?
Well, I dug very deep. And I put it in your hands to put up on our website. So anyone that goes to the website is going to be able to see this spaceship done by the Navy and Salvador Pais, P-A-I-S. He is a brilliant, brilliant aerospace engineer, and he has developed everything that we need to go from space to underwater in one craft. And it's operable. I mean, how did they think they were going to hide this from us?
Right.
Goodness gracious. All right. So, all of these technologies, the room temperature semiconductor, the high energy electromagnetic field generator, and the hybrid aerospace underwater craft, which is called the Hawk, H-U-A-C. So this aerospace underwater craft, I want to say it again, is a triangular-shaped black spaceship that we created. Dun-da-da-dun, the United States. All right, a triangular-shaped craft capable of going from underwater to the moon. So these inventions are from the same brilliant aerospace engineer, Salvador Pais, from NAWCAD, N-A-W-C-A-D. Now, this guy's, I mean, I keep saying he's brilliant, but that doesn't even touch it. He's like Albert Einstein, wrapped up in red ribbons. And his name means savior of the world.
Really?
Yes. This man single-handedly, well, with some help with engineers, has created the future. The future is here. In the patent, the technology is described as being able to create what is essentially a force field, straight out of science fiction, one that could generate an impenetrable defense shield to sea and land, as well as space-based military and civilian assets. So think of it. We have this triangular craft that has an impenetrable shield that can go underwater, resist all that pressure from smooshing it, this is a technical term, and then going into our atmosphere, and then going to the moon. I'm excited. So Salvador presented at the 2019 AIAA SciTech Forum, and he claims that this device could even serve as an optimal asteroid deflector to save the world from the 99942 Apophis. It's a 370-meter diameter near-Earth asteroid which has been predicted to come dangerously close to our planet in 2029 and 2036. Johnny, are you ready for that?
I want to rewind a bit and ask you a question that popped into my head. Why is it always the Navy? They seem to be, you know, releasing the videos. They seem to be sharing this. They seem to be doing this. And none of the other branches are saying anything or doing anything or releasing anything.
Well, not yet.
Yet.
Remember I was talking about that Time magazine expose that was going to be coming out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't come out in this last magazine. So I'm thinking that everybody's trying to get their ducks in a row before this expose comes out, talking about our space program that's been in effect for a long time. The information they're going to release is going to be a flood, and it's going to come from the Air Force. The Navy already started going into the patent office and putting in their patents. They don't want Russia or Europe or China or anyone else to have patents that we've been using and are operable because they were stolen or whatever.
Right.
I think we're getting past the point where all this information has got to come out. And we're sitting here talking about a spaceship that we have. It's not on any of the news. Why do you suppose that is?
Will it cause a panic?
That's what the governments all say, that people aren't ready. But my goodness, how many science fiction movies can one person see in their lifetime before they realize it's not by accident?
Right.
We're not seeing these science fiction movies because it's accidental. As a matter of fact, the guy who made, what was it, The Third Kind?
Close Encounters.
Yeah.
Now, apparently that was based on a true story.
That's right.
The only thing these phrases have in common are 5 seconds.
I hope somebody's taking all this down.
What are we saying to each other?
Seems they're trying to teach us a basic tonal vocabulary.
It's the first day of school, fellas.
And guess who was best friends with our space program? The director and the writers of that program
were
given information about this project and what had happened. They made a movie out of it because the United States government and now the UK are trying to get people used to the idea that aliens are here, we have space vehicles, and you've been paying for them for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah. Remember that $400 toilet seat? Yeah. So I'm a little worried about this near-Earth asteroid, and yet nobody really talks about it except for people in astronomy, you know, the guys that are looking out through their telescopes every night. And you might find it in astronomy magazine that my son reads. But no, it's happening, and it's happening now. I would love to hear from people what you think about that, you know. Do you think it would cause a panic if you learn tomorrow that spacecraft are held both on the moon and on ships, Navy ships, and underwater cities? Is that going to shake your world? Maybe you could go to our Facebook page. Johnny, what's our Facebook page?
The easiest way to go is just to go to strangeharbor.net, and then you'll find our Facebook icon and our YouTube icon and our Twitter icon. And
well, if you want to contact me, it's Sheree@strangeharbor.net, and that's C-H-E-R-I-E. I'd love to hear from you. I don't know if everybody knows David Wilcock. Now, David Wilcock is on Ancient Aliens. He has a couple of other shows on the History Channel. To me, he looks like a surfer dude. You know,
he's like the blonde dude on Ancient Aliens?
Yeah.
Right.
That's him. David. Okay. Well, he was saddened because one of his best friends, Pete Peterson, who's been a long time, he's an engineer, and he's been creating all of these spacecraft for the United States. And Pete was accidentally given an injection that killed him. And they're not saying what happened. David, his friend was releasing, he was one of the quiet people who stand up and told David like all this secret information about spacecraft and semiconductors and all of this engineering stuff. The timing was just too much for David because he was going into detail about the moon city that's up there and what's going on and some ships that he particularly worked on. They're like the shuttlecraft, only they're larger, and they are the ones that are shuttling back and forth and don't require any kind of power to go to space.
Yeah.
They could be lifted off rather easily from an undisclosed place. One of the things Pete has is all these patents, you know, that are going to be put in, and one of them is a foot-long energy source. He solved the problem of creating energy from a small burst of energy. And it's with, let me get this right, it's with radon gas, it's pressured into a point, and it creates these puffs of energy that are then used by the craft. So I'm going to get more into that next week, but yeah, his death was just a real strike to David, and David has it's a movie that's free, and Johnny put it on our website, mm-hmm. So you can go there. The information on David's website right now will curl your toes. This movie, I was up until 1 o'clock this morning watching this movie. I was just overwhelmed.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. So I would say, you know, check in. Apparently there were two other deaths within 3 days apart. So three men, 3 days, and they were all insiders. They were all the men who were creating things and had finished, and now they're dead. And they were all accidental.
Accidental hand quotes?
Yeah, I know you can't see my air quotes, but who's doing that kind of stuff? Men right. in Black? Are they still around?
I hear they are, but
I actually have a source that told me that the Men in Black weren't even human. They were humanoids.
I've heard that.
He said, oh, no, those are humanoids. They're like mechanical men. I'm like, gee whiz, that's weird. Can you imagine that in the 40s? Woo-hoo. Okay, now that's weird.
We are cooking right along, Cherie. What do you want to talk about next?
Next, we're going to talk about skyquakes.
What's a skyquake?
Skyquakes are unreported or unexplained reports of a phenomenon that sounds like a cannon, a trumpet, or a sonic boom coming from the sky. Okay, so picture this. You're sitting in a dark room, you know, and you're trying to zen out, and maybe you've got something on TV that you're just zoning out, and you hear this blast of trumpets and grinding and undersea whale sounds and a sonic boom, and it's coming from outside. You run outside, you look up into the sky, and it keeps making these noise. It sounds like the earth is starting to slow down.
The first one was Morocco, the second one South Africa, this one Tulsa, Oklahoma. This one is Calgary, Canada.
Where's that noise coming from?
This is Russia. Wow. Those are some pretty freaky sounds. If I heard those, I would think the world was ending or there was an alien invasion. That kind of sounds like something from War of the Worlds.
Those sounds can create shockwaves that vibrate buildings, cars, trash cans. I mean, if you were in a dead sleep and this thing started rattling and you're just going like hearing this like dying whale underwater sound.
Right.
I mean, heck, your heart would be pounding. And they've been heard in locations all over the world. All right, get this. I've not seen this written anywhere, but when I was investigating this, I looked at all the sites that have had these sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And if you draw a straight line from the United States, like from Oklahoma where it happened in Tulsa,
mm-hmm.
and you draw it all the way across our planet, past the water and into north to all the way to Russia through Europe, that's where all the sounds are coming from.
Really?
Yeah. Just and not below that line and
right.
not above that line. Now, the line might be, you know, 1,000 miles in width, but, I mean, it's amazing how close these sounds are to this basic line. The origin of the sound has not been positively identified by scientists, by
mm-hmm.
anyone. But here's an interesting thing. As far as we know, China seems completely unaffected. And China, as ancient as they are masters of vibration and sound.
Right, right.
So what are they trying to do? Rattle us?
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. We're going to talk a little more about these skyquakes and tons more coming up on Strange Harbor.
Did you hear a loud boom earlier today? Several people heard and felt a loud noise around 12:30 Central Time this afternoon. Tyler Allender joins us live in the studio. And Tyler, is any word on what it was?
Ron, with Kendall Eglin and NSA Panama City nearby, we're no stranger to loud booms from time to time. This particular one seems to be a mystery, though, but I heard and felt it.
Listening to Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor, be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. I'm Johnny Manson. She is Cherie DeSeuss. We've been talking about these skyquakes, these sounds that people have been hearing throughout the world. From the heavens, from the sky. They're huge sounds. They're like trumpets, or they sound melodic. But, Cherie, has scientists said anything about these, like what they think they are?
I don't agree with all of them, but I'm going to tell you what they are, and you can make your own mind up.
Right.
So they could be CMEs, which is a coronal mass ejection from the sun. The CMEs can generate shock waves similar to what happens when an aircraft flies at a speed higher than the speed of sound in the Earth's atmosphere. It's kind of a pop. The sound barrier, right? Sonic boom.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay for sonic booms, But I mean, the wailing whale and the trumpet sound. I just don't think so, mm-hmm. especially when sonic booms don't last that long. So meteors entering the atmosphere causing sonic booms, there again, there's no trumpets or grinding noises. So, you know, sure, a meteor can come in and you might get several pops, but you're not getting any of the other resonating sounds. So maybe gas escaping from vents in the Earth's surface, or deep lakes, or decaying limestone when air escapes or gas escapes. I'm not feeling that one either. I don't know about you, but when gas escapes, it's not timed. There can be short spurts, or there can be really long spurts. And what we're finding in these air sounds, these skyquakes, is they last for generally a specific amount of time, and then they just stop. So I'm not buying the gas. Military aircraft. Then again, you know, if we're talking about spacecraft, that'll make different sounds as it comes through the barriers. But I've never heard any of our spacecrafts, and I've been at landings at the different bases for the shuttlecraft, and I've never heard any kind of sound like that. So I'm not buying that one either. Earthquakes. Well, yeah, earthquakes could make some grinding noises because of the plates making sounds. They've never been recorded in history like the ones that we're hearing these days. This is all fairly recent. In North Carolina, one speculation is that it's the sound of pieces of the continental shelf falling off into the Atlantic abyss. Okay, so you want me to think that it's possible for either ice or land, dirt, to make the sound of a crying whale. I just don't hear it, Johnny.
Yeah.
I just don't feel that's possible. There are underwater caves collapsing and the air rapidly rises to the surface. Now that might present near coastal cities, but not in the middle of Russia, where these sounds have been heard. There's no water anywhere. Not like that. All right, so a possible resonance from solar and or earth magnetic activity could be inducing the sounds. Now this one I had to pause because the Aurora Borealis has always been quiet. Now it does give off vibration, but it's not something that we can hear. You have to use equipment. So if something's happening to our magnetic poles, like the magnetic pole change, this very might be the answer. We're due for a magnetic pole change. That means our magnetic north would become magnetic south. And it happens practically overnight. There's some cataclysmic mess with it. And we could drop into a mini ice age. So that one's possible. Volcanic eruptions. Yeah, maybe. Volcanic eruptions happen in a deep level, and then the sound escaping through many crevices in the earth. It's a possibility, but the sounds are so different. They're so bizarre that no one can really put their finger on it. Let's just face it. You know, somebody said maybe it's avalanches or the distant thunder, and it's just not happening. There's a place in Florida that has over 15,000 hits of lightning every time they have a lightning storm. An hour.
Wow.
And I happen to live there working in one of the hospitals. I wouldn't even leave my house. I lived next to a river. This river was lighting up with blue every time the lightning hit the water. I was not getting in my car and going to the hospital. So So I stayed home until the lightning storm was over. If there was any kind of thunder noises other than just the crack and the rolling thunder, I would have heard it then, and I did not hear it. And I don't even think Florida's on the list of having these sounds, so I'm not buying thunder. One thing's for sure, not one of these explanations covers all the different sounds. So what the heck is it? You know, let's look at the paranormal possibilities.
Angels playing trumpets.
There are a lot of people out there that believe that the second coming or the end of the world or the trumpets are playing and what's that called? Armageddon?
Right.
Yeah.
The seventh seal has been broken.
Right. Well, we've broken everything else. Why not the seventh seal? So, you know, that's a possibility. If you have faith and you think these might be the trumpet sounds, paranormal sounds like this, I'm leaning towards this. Now, don't giggle over there. There's no giggling.
Okay.
It could be cloaked spaceships coming in that make that noise over large bodies of land and before they take off again. And they might be coming in because of our electromagnetic field that somehow spaceships can pull power from. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that means as far as, you know, our electromagnetic field, but we do have an issue with one of our poles with the electromagnetic field. It's broken.
It's broken?
Yeah, it's broken.
How's that happen?
Well, I would say maybe ships are sucking off a little bit more electromagnetic field than they need to be. And maybe they made it crooked because it's not working as well as it's supposed to be. My fingers are crossed that they'll stop doing that. Another thing is people believe, there are folks that believe that not only the moon is hollow, we talked about that, and the ringing bell, that the earth is hollow. And it kind of makes sense because there are places on our planet that have huge gaping holes and spaceships have been seen going in and out of them. One is at the pole. I don't know about both poles, but I do. One of the poles has a deep crevasse and it's a few miles wide. I mean, it's really big. And the what's that called? Geo-Earth or Earth? You can see Earth on...
Oh, Google Earth?
Google Earth.
And they have Google Moon and Google Mars now, too.
I know, that's so cool. So on Google Earth, they, meaning governments or whoever is in charge of this Google Earth, has taken those holes off. Mm-hmm. They used to be there, but now you can't see them anymore.
Okay.
And there's one in San Francisco that's at the tip of the bay, and it goes all the way up to Sacramento. And there's a large gaping hole there that's also covered up by Google Earth. There are ships seen going in and out. So, and there are other places on the planet where these gaping holes have spaceships going in and out, or unidentified flying objects. We can call them that if you like. Also, there's a new word for UFO, Johnny.
What is it?
It's called UAP.
UAP?
Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. We're getting verbally corrected now by the government because they're getting ready to expose their information. And now they're UAPs. The Navy, the Air Force, everybody use UAPs. So if you hear UAP, perk up and listen. If it's on the news, I want to know about it. And if it's in some kind of online discussion, I'd love to know about it. So please put it on our Facebook, put it in an email to Cherie at strangeharbor.net. I'd love to hear from you and what you think about all these spacey, weird things going on.
Spacey. I noticed Marco Rubio doubled down on UFOs. What's that all about?
Well, it's just another way that the government is going to be releasing information soon. And Marco Rubio is positioning himself for a 2024 run for presidency.
Yeah.
He wants to be on the winning side of the whole space information.
Right.
He has begun to put a council together of interested individuals about outer space and our new space force, and he wants to disclose information. The way he's doing it is he's demanding to see the information that he is aware exists.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not really surprised by that. There are people in the government who really aren't aware that there's a space force that's already been doing all this stuff and making moon cities and whatnot. So, yeah, he wants to go for a 2024 run for the presidency, and he is pulling himself away from business as usual for Republicans. So it'll be interesting. I like Marco.
Yeah. Little Marco?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm not big on politics,
right. You
know, because I'm just not.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate good politicians. And I think he is a highly respected, good politician.
Mm-hmm.
And if he...
He's charismatic.
He is charismatic.
He's handsome.
He is handsome.
Mm-hmm. And he wants to...
And I think he's Hispanic, which
yeah.
I like, because I like diversity.
Right.
But Marco's definitely on the right track, so I'm going to be watching for him and what he says. Reagan, I believe, was a Republican, wasn't
yeah.
he? Reagan was deeply involved in the space program.
You notice how, like, they kind of just throw that out. Well, you know, what if, just what if, one of these days, let's say, aliens came here from another world and tried to take things over. Maybe we should kind of prepare for that.
Yeah.
Like Star Wars or...
That was after Reagan shook the hand of his first gray.
Allegedly, right?
Allegedly.
Didn't you say, like, last week that this was already in the cards? I mean, this was already done, pretty much?
Eisenhower was creating Space Force.
There is something I'm going to post on StrangeHarbor.net from 1958, an interview with Donald Kehoe. Every time this video gets posted, YouTube removes it.
Tonight, we go after a fantastic story. The story that flying saucers from other worlds are visiting our planet, just as we are exploring outer space with our own rocket satellite. Our guest is former Marine Air Corps Major Donald Kehoe, who has the support of scores of prominent businessmen, military men, and some scientists in his campaign to prove that flying saucers exist. If you're curious to know why Major Kehoe charges that the United States Air Force is deliberately deluding us when it calls saucer stories the bunk, if you want to hear his own evidence that the saucers are real, my name is Mike Wallace. The cigarette is Parliament.
So I'll post that on the website. How's that?
I love it, because sometimes you have to revisit some of these historic interviews that were done years ago to realize everything's the same.
Right.
We're still facing the fact that aliens are here and or we have to deal with aliens in space. I mean, to think that we're alone in the universe or one of the many universes is silly. Many abductees will come back from their abduction and state that the aliens are very upset about the way we treat our planet, and that if we don't stop, we're going to really destroy where we live. We need to make sure that we keep the oceans clean. We need that because that's where we're getting our food. We need potable water. We're running out of water to drink. Since we're running out of potable water, our spaceships that are out in space right now have found that, or maybe I should say our the rovers, those kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
and also satellites that are going out there and rotating around different moons. We have water in all the moons. There's water in the leftover volcanic eruptions in the holes. There's ice, and a whole city could be built there and live off the ice. This is all news that's readily available I just come out here and talk about it.
Where can you find it?
Well, you can go to NASA.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about the ice in all of the moons.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to The Drive that talks about all of the military and space vehicles that are being created and are being used. They're like the best website ever to find out what's going on in space and our own military. And you can Google. I Google all the time. I mean, I Google stuff like, when's the end of our water? And I don't like the results, so I usually just
right.
close it off and say, well, But we may get to a point here on the planet that everyone will have a ocean to drinking water device in their house. So you might be getting ocean water delivered to your home. Yeah, we need to start taking better care of our Earth.
Right.
Yeah, we really do.
And if you don't want to be tracked by Google, you can use startpage.com, and they have access to Google's index, but they don't do the tracking Google does. And if you want a safer browser, Brave, B-R-A-V-E. For all you conspiracy theorists out there that think big tech is monitoring you and checking up on you and keeping a database on you, which they are.
They are!
Yeah, get the Brave browser. It's a great browser, blocks everything, and then allows you to let things in. And then startpage.com.
You want to know how you can get really rich and it has nothing to do with money or gold? It's the way people can get rich right now. And just, I'll leave it at that. What is the most profitable thing on the planet today?
Data, information?
Yes!
Yeah.
Data. Absolutely. Data is being farmed on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
and that data goes for more money than gold.
Right.
Can you believe that? Even more than diamonds.
That's how you get, like, spam emails for Viagra and stuff. Somewhere along the line, you signed up for, like, a newsletter or something. They sold your email along with a bunch of other people, or hackers broke into their database and stole it. But chances are, and then they sold it. They sold a list of all these emails to somebody who's willing to pay for it so they could send you those Viagra ads.
Yeah, your information is extremely valuable. And places like China and Russia and other countries that are, even India, there's farmers. And they're not farming with corn. They're farming for your information.
Mm-hmm.
There's really nothing you can do right now. You can't excuse yourself off the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They have 5,000 bits of information for every human being on the planet that uses the internet. Even if they don't use the internet.
Right.
If they have a gas bill.
Mm-hmm.
And all this information is being put into databases and being sold.
Okay, that brings me to the three big issues. One is surveillance. The second is censorship, and the third is manipulation. In my research, I study manipulation primarily, but I've written about all three of these issues. The issues that I'm going to tell you about should concern everyone. We should rise above our politics, and we should explore these issues, and we have to take action on these issues. And basically, at this point in time, I can tell you that democracy is little more than an illusion in the United States and many other countries as well, because big tech companies now have the ability to determine the outcomes of elections without you having the slightest idea that they're doing so. Google and Facebook together serve about 2.5 billion people. That number will soon be over 4 billion. And they are impacting right now the moods, the attitudes, the behavior, the decision-making, the purchases, the votes of all of these people, 2.5 billion people around the world. Okay, that brings me to surveillance. Google, I've been lately calling GSA, or Google Surveillance and Advertising. I mean, sometimes in the name of the company, it tells you what the company does. We think they're like a public librarian, and they just provide us with lots of free services. They're nothing like a public librarian. A public librarian doesn't track you, doesn't sell information about you. They just help you find information. That's not really what Google is doing. That's just a game that they're playing, okay? Because if you had to give Google the name that it should have based on what it actually does, it should be called Google Surveillance and Advertising. And the same applies to Facebook. Because what does Google actually do? It actually is a surveillance company. So every single service that you use that Google provides, no matter what you think it's doing for you, it exists for only one purpose from a business perspective, and that is surveillance. The only reason they run a search engine is to collect information about where you search, what you search for. Gmail is Google's email service. Gmail's not an email service. It's a surveillance platform. That's all it is. It's just another way that Google collects information about you. All of your emails are stored permanently, even the emails that you didn't send, even the drafts, even that is stored and analyzed. And all of the incoming emails that you've received from anyone, those are stored and analyzed and monetized by Google. The most popular browser in the world. Google invented Chrome because they weren't getting enough information. They were getting information if you used their search engine. That didn't tell them where you went to when you weren't using your search engine. So they had to build a browser. Well, now they have a full picture of what you do online through Chrome, but that wasn't enough. They wanted to know what you did when you weren't online. So they had to build an operating system, which is called Android, which is not really an operating system. It's a surveillance platform. It tracks every single thing you do online or offline. The Android operating system is recording every single thing you do and every single place you go, even if you turn off the geo-tracking. And the fact is, millions of websites embed what's called Google Analytics so they can keep track of who visits their website. Guess what? When you visit any of these millions of websites, Google is tracking you. Every single thing you do on that website is tracked by Google. Google's reach is utterly beyond belief.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you want to learn more about some of the topics that we talked about today, if you want to listen to past episodes, if you want to contact us and say we're a bunch of whack job tinfoil hat people, just log on to strangeharbor.net.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor, be strange.